The Lord be with you.
A
reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus began to reproach the towns where most of his mighty deeds had been done, since they had not repented. Woe to you, Chorazin! Woe to you, Bethsaida! For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would long ago have repented in sackcloth and ashes. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon on the day of judgment than for you. And as for you, Capernaum, will you be exalted to heaven? You will go down to the nether world. For if the mighty deeds done in your midst had been done in Sodom, it would have remained until this day. But I tell you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom on the day of judgment than for you. The Gospel of the Lord. Good. So once again, good morning, brothers and sisters. Tiny little thought for you once again. The story of the birth of Moses that we hear in our first reading from the book of Exodus tells us that the invincible plan of God cannot be stopped and does not depend on any human power. Now, you remember from, if you heard the first reading yesterday, that infanticide was the law of the land in Egypt in the time of the birth of Moses, where every Hebrew boy child was to be killed at birth. The girls could live. And so the mother of Moses, desperate to save the life of her newborn baby, fashions a waterproof basket, puts baby Moses inside the basket, and sets the basket afloat in the River Nile. You know, the River Nile is one of the most dangerous places in the whole world, filled with deadly animals, crocodiles, water snakes, and hippos. You might think of a hippo as being just a cute zoo animal. But you know that a hippo is actually the deadliest animal in Africa? Little digression here. I was once chased by an angry mama hippo. Did you know that? It was on the Zambezi River in Africa with one man in a boat. We got too close to a baby hippo, and mama hippo just charged the boat, and the man floored the outboard motor, and the hippo kept up with the boat, trying to chomp us. I survived, okay, but any one of those wild animals would have loved to have had a baby in a basket as a very convenient lunch. But of all of the things that could have gone wrong, the most improbable thing in the world is exactly what happens, and it goes perfectly right. And Moses is rescued by the daughter of the Pharaoh of Egypt. You think about all the times in which God's great plan hung by a filament and the whole plan of salvation could have come crashing down. Think about elderly Abraham, who was way too feeble to make a long journey from his homeland all the way to the land of Canaan. Or think about the miraculous birth of Isaac that never should have happened. Or you think about Joseph, left for dead. But just because of a flippant change of mind, they decide to preserve his life. And if anything had gone wrong, all of God's plans would have come crashing down. And yet God's invincible plan marches along just to show you that God is in charge. And he'll even work miracles to make it happen. But there's one miracle he will never work. And that is, he will never work a miracle to force your heart. Faith is a gift. But at some point, it's got to become a decision. And only you can make that choice. Remember last summer, when all the revelations about Cardinal McCarrick came out, and people talked to me, and they said, how can someone whose life is so imbued with sacred things possibly be so far away from God in his heart? Could have said the same thing about Judas Iscariot, right? Lived with Jesus, and yet his heart was a mile away. And that's why Jesus says to these towns here what he says, woe to you, Chorazin, woe to you, Bethsaida, Woe to you, Capernaum, the towns that had seen all of his works, heard all of his preaching, seen all of his miracles, and yet remained so very, very far from him. That phrase, woe to you, that was a prophetic reproach. It was used by Isaiah, it was used by Micah, it was used by Habakkuk as a way of saying, God's judgment is about to come down on your head. And if you go to these places today, you'll find Chorazin, Bethsaida, Capernaum. There's nothing there at all. Maybe just a couple of ruins dug up for the tourists. God's judgment came down heavily upon them. And what we need to stop and consider is that he could just as easily say those words to us. You're at church on a Tuesday morning. Very, very close to sacred things. But the question remains open. Where's your heart? Faith is a gift, but at some point it's got to become a decision, and that's a decision that only you can make. I was just in the hospital not so long ago, giving the sacraments to a dying man, and he was so grateful. He said, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus. And I walked away thinking that's the spirit we want to have on our hearts all the time. It might not be that emotional, it might not be that dramatic, but you always want to have that spirit of grateful humility in your heart to stay close to the Lord. Today we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. You know what Our Lady of Mount Carmel is really all about as a feast day? It's about the interior life of the Blessed Mother. How, if there was ever anyone who lived who never took Jesus for granted, it was her. How her soul was a sanctuary, a dwelling place for the Lord, how she pondered the words of Christ in her heart day and night. That's what you and I want. So that at the end of our days, Jesus won't say, woe to you, but he'll say, well done, good and faithful servant. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Let's ask for the prayers of the Blessed Mother to remain faithful to our Lord in word and in spirit. Our Lady of Mount Carmel, pray for us.